change that dial. WGBB 1240, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Let Al Barberino sing for us for a while.
As a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show.
Jesus work within us as he heals us, and we have some special guests that are going to talk about that. I think it's going to be a fascinating show.
And you know what? We're sitting here with four beautiful women, and they all have stories to tell, and you're right, Uncle John. It's going to be a fascinating show.
He calls me Uncle John. I'm really his grandfather. I didn't know how to tell you this, but go ahead.
John and I are just two kids with love in our hearts for Jesus. And as we always say, we want to spread that love. We want to spread it throughout Long Island, throughout New York State, throughout the United States, throughout the world. And we're only looking for one conversion a week. The apostles converted 3,000 every time they spoke. And John and I are so humble. We just want one conversion a week.
And we'll take that. You know, just so you know that we have a special musical group with us today in Rhea Music. And their music is all inspired by words that they receive in prayer or from others. And you're going to hear some of their music throughout this day of healing. And we have this woman, Joan. What's her last name?
What? I think it's Schiffo,
yeah, right. You know her, don't you? She's your wife. And she's going to be on the show. And Barbara, our dear friend, Barbara Balestrieri. And both of these women had cancer and have been healed by the love of God. So that's what our show is about today. It's going to be quite fascinating, quite interesting.
We just want everybody to know healing does take place. Jesus loves us so much, he will heal us.
And now we're going to just fade out, Al. Goodbye, Al. It's been nice talking to you. And we're not talking over you today. We just shut you up.
But Al, we love you. We really do love you.
I'd like to start the show with the Rhea Music doing a lovely song, Our Lady of Hope. Maybe you can tell us about that.
Okay. Our Lady of Hope was written in 2006. We were on a pilgrimage to France. We went to the chapel and we said, I don't recognize you, Blessed Mother.
Yes, she was dressed in navy blue with gold stars, and she had a hat on that was so unfamiliar, and a red cross. She held a red cross in her hands.
Mm. And above the altar, because it was in France, was written in French. And the priest that we were with, we asked him, because he spoke French, I said, Father, what does that say in English? We wrote it down. And then we were just sitting and praying. And then, all of a sudden, I said, Maria, do you hear that music?
A beautiful melody. We both heard it. And so when we left the chapel, we ran to go get a piece of paper and a pencil to write it out.
Yes.
And on the trip also, two women who spoke French fluently helped us to learn how to say the French properly.
So here we are on the bus with our paper and pencil, and we wrote this song for Our Lady of Hope.
Notre Dame du Pont-Mer.
So you'll hear it in English and French.
Soon.
grace of God's love. And all of those who are listening with cancer or other kinds of diseases that have been threatening your life, be aware that God's love is ready, willing, and more than able to touch you and to heal you His way, not necessarily the way you want.
And all we have to do is ask. Ask. Just go to Jesus. Bring everything to Him. And just put yourself before Him.
We have two people here today who were afflicted with cancer. Barbara, we're going to ask you to talk first, if you would. And tell people your story, because it's wonderful. It's fascinating, painful, but wonderful.
I was diagnosed with colon cancer with lymph node involvement in July 2009. My son was getting married in 3 weeks, and my daughter was studying for her nursing boards. It was such a joyous time in my life, but I was so heartbroken. I could not understand how my God, a loving God who I worshipped and adored, would allow cancer to invade my body. I spent so many nights, endless nights, in so much misery and heartache, reaching out to the Lord, asking Him to please spare me my life. I did not want to die. I wanted to live. I held on to some of scripture where in Psalm 118, 17 says, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. While lying in bed one evening, I heard a voice that said, go to my knees. I went to my knees. I didn't even say a prayer. I got back into the bed, and then I heard the word revelation. I was looking at the wall between two mirrors, and suddenly these shadows appeared. And I knew it was shadow of not of Jesus. It was the face of Padre Pio. God showed me so many things while I was going through this journey, that He was there for me, even in the times where I felt that He had abandoned me. I could not understand why my loving God would allow any disease to affect me or anyone, because God is my God was the God that I worshipped and adored, and He is sovereign. And all this came to lay heavy on my heart.
Weren't you upset that and angry at Him? I know I would be.
I was, because I felt in life, what more did I need to do to gain his acceptance? But through my journey, I realized that He loved me, and He didn't abandon me. He walked with me. He carried me in those moments when I could not get beyond the moment.
Barbara, I just want to, for one moment, anyone who's listening with cancer, if you're not angry at God, there's something wrong with you. If you're not angry at what's happening to you, there's something wrong with you. You know, you have a life to live, and you feel, God, why are you interfering with what I want? And yes. I know that's what every person feels. My wife had cancer, and she had the same kind of feelings. So I'm sorry, Barbara. I just want to make people who are listening to feel it's okay to be angry at God when you have cancer. It's okay.
Yes, I did. I had many conversations with Him and to try to come to some peace, but during the whole time of chemotherapy, I did not feel His presence. I felt the presence of the Blessed Mother. It wasn't until my 10th treatment, where my platelets were very low. I was at a weight of 87 pounds, and I just could not go on. I had two more treatments left, and I felt, Lord, you're not here. You're just not here. And I was led to the Bible. It was Isaiah 40:31, which it said, those who have hope, I will renew their strength. You will soar on the wings of eagles. When you walk, you will not be weary, and when you run, you will not faint. Little did I know that my cousin, she picked up a stone at that very point in time that had the word strength on it. I received it about 4 days later in the mail. She wrote me, Barbara, I keep you in prayer and hope the following scripture is helpful to you. It was the same scripture that God led me to the day that I pled my case with Him. I also at that time asked Him to take my sins and all my transgressions and make me new. And from that 10th, at that 10th treatment was when I began to feel His presence and continue throughout to this moment today.
And you're free and clear now.
Yes, I am. The doctors perfect. Give me a wonderful prognosis. They did from the beginning. But my healing is in God's hands. And as I said, I pray. The scriptures, there's a lot of healing scriptures that I rely on that I pray each day that keep me focused, that I need to hear. Mm-hmm. In Jeremiah, where God says, I will restore you to health and heal you of all your wounds. Mm-hmm. I hold on to these scriptures because they give me hope, and hope is what we need. I don't want to be a victim. I want to be a victor. And with God, everything is possible. And I know in order for me to move forward in life and to get beyond this terrible experience, I need him beside me to guide me.
Barbara, isn't it so wonderful that as soon as you put yourself into Jesus' hands, there was a turnaround?
Mm, yes.
Isn't that so magnificent?
And Tony.
And I think anyone that's inflicted with any disease or problems, just place them into Jesus' hands and have faith in him, and he'll do the rest. And I think a good example of that is my bride, Joan, who, it's a good contrast, Barbara, between your reaction and Joan's. And so I'll let Joan tell the story. Mm-hmm. Joan Chiffo.
Hi, I was diagnosed with uterine cancer in May this last year. And it was May 26th, and it was Tony's birthday. And they had called and said that I should come to the office that night at 8:30. I had a biopsy the week before. And it didn't sound good at all. My children were over, and they had to leave so that we could go to the doctor. And I went in, and I saw her face, and I knew. She said, this is not good. I know this woman for 18 years, so I knew when I saw her that it was bad. And she said, it's uterine cancer, but it's a very rare type of cancer. And it's the kind that maybe about 10 or 15% of people get. It's hideous, and it's fast spreading, she said. And tomorrow you'll see an oncologist, and you'll go for your pre-op, and you're scheduled for next Thursday, which was June 3rd, for your surgery. And I was numb. I was kind of numb. I really didn't, I couldn't think anymore. I thought maybe, you know, I have MS. I don't think I should be getting cancer. That's the only thing that I thought, you know. I never thought that I would have anything else. And so we went home, and I found that I couldn't pray. I wanted to pray. I had my rosary in my hand, but I couldn't pray. I took the rosary the next day to the oncologist. I had it in my hand, but I didn't pray. And she saw the rosary. She said, you know, this is a very aggressive type of cancer, but we're going to be aggressive, and that's what we'll do. And she opened my hand, and she said, you can take those with you to your surgery. And I did. I took them in the day of the surgery, and they taped my hand with the rosary in it. And I still wasn't praying, but at least I had the rosary with me. And, well, during that time, a few things happened that every day and every night, Tony would come over to me with a cross that we had on the night table, and it was a little silver cross that we had just gotten in the mail, and we had it on top of a hanky that was from Medjugorje, and it was the one that was touched to Jesus's leg when with the oil, and he would bring it over and put it on my stomach, and we would both pray, and morning and night we did that. And maybe the day before the surgery, he said to me, does that cross look a little different to you? And I said, well, it looks a little brighter. Something looks different about it. It's very bright. And then the day of the surgery came, and he brought it over, and it looked like a golden color.
Wow.
And he put it on me. We prayed. He wanted me to wear it, but I said, I can't. You know, I couldn't wear anything. So he wore it. He took it to the hospital, and he wore it. And, you know, while I was in there, he was telling my children about this cross. And, of course, they, you know, think he's crazy. So, you know, so they said, my son said, listen, Dad, I'm going to give you my watch. And you put it down on that hanky. And that's when, you know, when it turns gold, you can bring it back to me, you know. So it was a little bit of relief during that time. But the surgery went well, but they didn't tell them anything when they came out. They said they needed time to have this tested. And yeah, And so they tested it after about 10 days. And she said it was the type of cancer that they thought, but that it also had an adenocarcinoma in it, which kind of overtook this one, which was very unusual because this is the one that takes over everything. And they took out, they gave me a hysterectomy and they took out 15 lymph nodes and every one of them was clear.
Praise God.
Every one of them. It only had gone into the cervix, so it was only a stage two.
Praise God.
And it was just the most wonderful thing to hear that. But during the time of the week that I was at home, I couldn't pray, as I said. I felt the prayers of the people around me. I did feel it so strong. I felt God around me. I felt the Blessed Mother. And I kept looking at the picture of the Divine Mercy. And Divine Mercy is just trust and love. And I just said, every day, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you. And I remembered thinking about the song that I had heard that Palmer Pascal was singing. And I decided I have to listen to that. And I did every single day, all day long, for a whole week. And this is the song that got me through that week.
Jesus, heal me, heal me.
Can you see?
came God's way, as yours did as well. You're still here to tell your stories, to offer hope to people, and let God's love enter into their lives. Anyone who is listening who has cancer, we want you just to open yourself to God's love and to his hope. We're going to turn to the saints in a moment. Go ahead.
But before we do that, Joan, why don't you bring it to the conclusion that what happened after we went to Sloan Kettering and what they told you?
Well, we went to Sloan Kettering because I needed the radiation. And so they wanted all the slides and they wanted to see exactly what this was. And so they said they had to have a panel to look at this, because a panel of doctors had to see what happened with this, because it is such an aggressive type of cancer and it didn't spread the way it should have. And so they just took a little longer time, but they said, yes, that's what it is, and I need radiation just to be sure, but no chemo, which is what they thought in the beginning. There was no chance that I wasn't going to get chemo. And the other thing was, too, that I was supposed to get it for 6 weeks. And when I went to Sloan Kettering, they said, oh, no, you get a different type, and it'll be three times, once a week, three times, and it'll just be a longer time. It was about a 20-minute time rather than a 2 or 3 minute, but it was easy. You know, I mean, it was easy. God was with me the whole time. Blessed Mother was with me the whole time.
You know, today is the Feast of St. Joseph, and we did a show a while back with Brother Andre and the healings that came through his belief and trust in St. Joseph. So those of you who are listening who are not interested in praying to the Blessed Mother, well, ask St. Joseph. Ask Padre Pio. Ask St. Philip, because we're going to have St. Philip right here, right here, right before your ears.
Dr. Palmer?
Yes?
Give me a second. Let me draw my eyes.
Okay. Wasn't that a powerful half hour?
Beautiful. You know, when I hear those, I can't really talk. I really can't, because it just went from one side to the other side. So extreme and so dangerous to so beautiful. Something that we just put into the hands of Jesus, and he has never let us down, never.
Wasn't it amazing, Joan and Barbara, that you were touched so powerfully by God and led to healing, and you never expected it? You were just really finished.
I just put my trust in Jesus.
That's all you can do.
And that's all I did, and it was,
and you found more than healing.
And that cross is so amazing. I mean, I would stake my life that I found that cross right away amongst my papers, and it was a silver cross. And all of a sudden, just slowly, it started turning brighter and brighter. I have a picture I'll show you. Okay.
I'm going to take the power of the executive producer for the show, because I want to share something about my wife, who had brain cancer. And she was lying on the couch, getting worse and worse. The brain, the affected part of the brain was the speech and language area of the brain. And Rose had always been a big, 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 big talker. And she couldn't talk. And for years, people know I get words and I would write them. And I tried to share them with her. She didn't want to hear them, didn't want to hear them. But all during that time, in fact, when she looked at some of the words, she's an English teacher, she wanted to correct the English. And I said, well, I don't think we're going to change the words. Anyway, each night I would be on the airbed by her couch and praying with her. And the words would come. And at the end of the word, she would say, John, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I said, thank you, Lord, for sharing that. And when she died, we were in the hospital saying the hospice care, saying the Hail Mary. And it ends with now and at the hour of our death, amen. She died at that very moment. And a few seconds later, I heard in my head, John, it's beautiful here. It just was continuity. It's beautiful here. Now she's telling me it's beautiful here. It's just something that confirms our faith. So those of you who are terminal and really with little hope left in this world, just be aware that it's beautiful there as well. And God will welcome you.
And just just to bring Joan's story to a final conclusion, case was reevaluated and downgraded to a 1B, and all they said that she needed was those 3 radiation treatments and come back every 3 months. So let's get on with St. Philip.
Oh, pushy. Always pushing.
Okay, Uncle John.
Gotta do your saints. You have to do your saints. Go ahead, your saints.
I love these saints. And you know what? St. Philip, in so many ways, reminds me of Sunday's readings. Because St. Philip had a family, had 3 or 4 daughters, when he was called upon by Jesus to follow him. So let's see what happens here. St. Philip was called by our Lord the day after St. Peter and St. Andrew was called. We learn from historical records that he was then a married man and he had several daughters, 3 of which, by the way, reached a high state of holiness. As is true with other apostles, St. Philip left everything to follow Jesus. St. Philip was a follower of John the Baptist, as was Peter and Andrew, when it was first pointed out by John the Baptist that Jesus was the Lamb of God. Jesus actually approached Philip when he was about to set out for Galilee and called him with the words, "Follow me." I wonder, what would we do if we were called by Jesus and God with those words, "Just leave everything and follow me"? Philip obeyed the call and became one of his apostles. Philip is most prominently mentioned in the Gospel of John. Before the miraculous feeding of the multitude on the mountain, Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Philip answered, "The bread is not sufficient that everyone may eat and take a little." Thus Jesus performed his miracle, feeding thousands of people with only a few loaves of bread and several fish, small fish. Another time, Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and it is good enough for us." And Jesus responded, "He that seeth me, see the Father." According to scholars, the character sketch of Philip, as all the other apostles, was that he was naive, shy, said to be sober-minded. He was humble and had a deep love in his heart for Jesus. Acts 21:8-9 mentions that Philip had 4 virgin daughters that were gifted with prophecy. Like many of the other apostles, Philip's life is undocumented. However, there's an accounting that through a miraculous healing of his preaching, Philip converted the wife of a prominent official. This outraged the official, and he had Philip and Bartholomew tortured and then crucified upside down. Philip preached during his crucifixion on the cross, and as a result of Philip's preaching, the crowd released Bartholomew from the cross. But Philip insisted that they not release him, and so Philip died upside down on the cross. The Sunday's readings in many ways reflects the decision Philip and all the apostles had to make. Just as God, our Creator, asked Abram in the first reading to leave his country and follow and family, Jesus asked each disciple to do the same thing. This is surely a frightening request, but the apostles, like Abram, obeyed. Abram, who was later called Abraham, became a traveling evangelist for God, enduring much, but in the end, he was rewarded with the destiny promised him and becoming the father of the chosen people. Thus, so it was with the apostles. They faced changes, much of it hard, but they were strengthened by the Holy Spirit, the transfiguration of the apostles. Peter, James, and John had a glimpse of the future glory of Christ, and it strengthened them and encouraged them to go and keep their vision fixed on Christ, who touches all our lives in so many ways. The transfiguration clearly pointed to the direction of the apostles' journey, and through the scriptures, our Lenten journey should be directed to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We absolutely need Jesus to lift us up, to take us away our fears. We should have eyes for him only. We need to keep our vision fixed on Jesus Christ, who touches every aspect of our lives.
And when we do, he turns us around. He turns us in a different direction. Now, during the first half hour, we've been talking about the trial. But this half hour, we're going to talk about hope. And we're going to talk about the change that Jesus makes in us when he turns us around. Rhea, why don't you tell us a little bit about the song and then sing it?
All right. God's going to turn it around. A gentleman after Mass came up to us one day and said, I got a word for you.
God's going to turn it around.
Amen.
God's going to turn it around.
And what we did is we waited and we, till God gave us the okay to write the song. And on the feast day of Padre Pio, who Barbara spoke about,
yes,
that is when God said, I want you to write this song today.
To scripture, right?
Right, to mm-hmm. scripture. Mm-hmm. And it was from 2 Chronicles 20, when these Israelites were up against 30,000, three times the amount of their army. And so they prayed. Good thing to do, I think. The first thing to do is pray. What should we do? And what happened was they prayed. They were told by God, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The battle is mine, says the Lord. And this song was born. And so we're going to do it for you now. God's going to turn it around.
And if you're sitting there, you can get up and turn around.
And if not, just bang your hands together.
Believe you'll turn it around. Whatever's bothering you, whatever problem you're going through.
Turn around. and sing.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
God's gonna turn it around.
Be gone, cancer. Get the hell out of here.
God's gonna turn it around and around and around and around. God's gonna turn it around and around and around and around. God will turn it around.
Are you smiling yet? Do you believe? Let's sing it again. God's gonna turn it around.
God's gonna turn it around and around and around and around. God, our God's gonna turn it around and around and around and around. God will turn it around. God's gonna turn it around and around and around and around. God, our God's gonna turn it around and around and around and around. God will turn it around.
Oh, yes, he will. God will turn it. God will turn it around.
Focus on him. Jesus is our brother. Take away the pain. He'll lead you his way. Rhea Music, everybody. Rhea Music. A little up. Tell us about your website so if people want to get more of your music, they can.
It's www.rheamusic.org. And you can also see our calendar, where we're at, like we're on our calendar today, that we're here at WGBB.
And we're calling today for petitions. We're going to Rome for the beatification of Pope John Paul II. We're taking a really big book of petitions, so send them in. We'll take them.
Pope John needs a miracle. It might be yours. Send them in. You can do it through the website.
And now we're going to move into the healing part of the show. We're running out of time, so we got to just move right into it. Tony, what?
Before we get into that, Palmer, can I ask you a question?
No.
Did you ever think of taking singing lessons?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's my Uncle John. I can ask him that.
People used to ask me to sing Far, Far Away.
I don't know that tune.
And with me, he's telling everybody to sing, he's telling me, keep quiet. Keep quiet.
But isn't it great to sing on a show that's dealing with cancer? Whoever thought we'd be singing Turn It Around on a show dealing with cancer? It's your mindset. God will take into account your mindset and he'll turn it around. That's what it's all about. That's what the show's about. Yeah, you got cancer. We know it's terrible. I don't want to say so what, but it is terrible. However, God will turn your attitude around. Your attitude, and that's what works when you get healed.
Amen.
It's his attitude.
And Jesus tells us all the time, bring it to him. Just bring it to him.
I want to also mention something that about a place where we can go, where the Blessed Mother made her presence known right here on Long Island in March of 1960. Hempstead, believe it or not, Hempstead became a modern-day Lourdes. St. Paul's Greek Orthodox Cathedral on Cathedral Avenue was swamped with pilgrims eager to watch as one after the other, three lithographs of the Blessed Mother wept. And it's really from that moment on that her presence was felt. The story began March 16, 1960 in Island Park, where 18-year-old newly married Pagona Kastunis, I mess up her name, I'm not Greek, was saying evening prayers. Suddenly, she noticed a tear form in the left eye of the icon, rolled down the cheek of the Madonna. She and her husband watched in amazement and then called others. And finally, on March 18th, they had the pastor of St. Paul come, and they told him about the weeping Madonna that they had. On the 21st, the priest, Father Papadeus, returned with the spiritual head of the Greek Orthodox Church, who was astonished now to see the street overflowing with people.
unfortunately, the weeping stopped. And all that remained was a small bead from the last tear, which crystallized like a strike, a tiny diamond in the corner of her eye. But the Lord was not finished. On March 24th, the New York Journal American reported remarkable events on Wednesday of that week. Reverend Papadeus was bringing the first icon to his church when he stepped out of the door of the Castanuas' house carrying the flower-adorned icon. Three doves, unseen by Father George, formed a triangle high above, and they remained above the limo for the half-hour trip to St. Paul's Church. Priests didn't know the birds were flying in formation above the vehicle until cars reached St. Paul's, where hundreds of parishioners waited on the patio. When the limo stopped before the door was opened, Father Papadeus was astonished to see the three white birds that looked like doves swoop down over the waiting crowd, almost touching their heads, while the parishioners gasped in unison like a choir. This happened in 1960. Lines were down to Hempstead Turnpike. People from all religions came to be prayed over with for cancer and other healings. Recently, the icon of St. Nicholas started tearing in that church as well. And now, people can go to the church and pray before the icon. I've gone there. Rose and I went there when she had cancer. Went before the icon, and you can feel the presence of the Blessed Mother. At least we did. That's our personal experience. May not be yours. But for those of you who are suffering with cancer, you can go there. It's right in Hempstead. It's a beautiful Greek Orthodox church. And if you get in there, look up Teki Joannides. Teki is almost the custodian, if you want. I don't want to say it that way, but she really leads people in prayer before the icon. So if you need prayer, make a point to come over there and let the Blessed Mother, through the remnant of her presence, take hold and bless you. Okay? Go ahead.
And if anyone would like the oil from the Greek church, all they have to do is email us and we'll send them a small jar of the oil that was blessed from the Greek church.
You know, the way I look at cancer and any other illness, I'll take whatever I can get. And whatever's around that can heal, I'm going to grab at it. You know, I didn't get healing from my wife the way I wanted, but she got the perfect healing.
Amen.
And she's home. And I'm still struggling along, trying to go one day at a time. We have these wonderful petitions before us, and we're going to ask everyone here just to put your hands over the petitions. And we pray, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Fill our hearts.
Come, Jesus. Come, Blessed Mother. Anyone and everywhere who's listening, any saint is listening, St. Philip, all the apostles, Padre Pio, St. Blaise, Brother Andre, all the people that we have mentioned, the saints and healing, St. Joseph in particular, today the Feast of St. Joseph. We ask you, enter into these petitions. Touch the hearts of all those who are seeking healing.
Call upon St. Raphael, the healing archangel, to be with all of you.
And we place our trust in Brother Andre and his devotion to St. Joseph.
Thank you, Lord.
We have the oil of the oratory of St. Joseph right here. And we place that on the petitions.
Yes, Lord.
So that they are offered directly to St. Joseph. We believe in this, Lord. Jesus. We believe in this, Lord. Jedevada, Jedevada, Jedevada,
Jedevada. Praise you, Jesus.
Jesus, we pray for Liz. We pray for Liz. Recovering from surgery. Liz has Chiari disease. Ask you, Lord, heal her. Heal what remains. dizziness, take away the tachycardia that she has now. She had that before the surgery. We thank you for the successful surgery. Now, Lord, boldly we ask you, complete the healing you have promised. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
For David, recovering from cancer, our five-year-old, we keep these petitions going every week. And we pray for any child anywhere who has cancer. We pray for any adult anywhere who has cancer. Lord Jesus, by your mercy, by your love, by your grace, allow these people to feel your presence, to know you are here. Let them be touched by your healing presence now, Lord. Praise you and thank you.
Let's pray for Margarita, who has a deep faith and a deep love for you, Jesus. And she just needs your help.
She's in the hospital with a heart failure. We pray for Margarita.
Margarita, we're praying for you. We want you to know that.
Praying for your husband. You know, also, too, Lord, we're praying for every caretaker out there. Every person. Every husband. Your husband, John, Barbara. And your husband, well, Tony. But we pray, Lord, for the caretakers.
Yes, Lord.
We know how much they go through. I certainly do, and so does every caretaker out there. You're on duty 24 hours a day. We pray, Lord, that they not overextend themselves so that they are just completely washed away by the illness. Many times it happens that people are healed of cancer, but the caretaker dies because they've gone too far and given too much.
And we pray for Lynn Johnson, who's in Vegas and is suffering from cancer and just was diagnosed, and asked for our prayers. And we just pray for everyone that asks for our prayers. Just watch over them.
Praise Jesus.
And we want to stress, Lord, the words you're saying inside me. My friends, I am healing cancer my way. I wish you to remain in this world, I will clear away those cancerous tumors in your being. I will start that healing now, as I've already done it even before this. If I want to bring you home, I will bring you home. And don't worry about your family members. I'll take care of them as well. Because my love is over all of you. Whether you come home or don't, come home to me or don't, you remain in the world of man. And I promise you that I will surround you with three white doves in a triangle. And I will lead you to the healing that I wish to give to you. You are my people, and I am your God. And I am a God of love. And I touch you. I touch you now. And I tell you now, in the silence of your heart, I am here. Praise you, Lord. We thank you.
And remember,
thank you, Jesus.
Jesus wants us to know there are fruits in everything that goes on. You may not see it while you're suffering. You may not know it, but there are fruits that you will be rewarded with in one time or another.
Thank you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Lord.
We love
thank
you so
Lord.
Much.
Yeah.
Praise.
You know, we want to finish with a song. A beautiful song by Rhea Ministry again. And this is Save Your Children. Oh. You want to tell us a little bit about it, or do you want
it
to go into
it? It's a beautiful song, but it's really, it's up, very
right.
up. Because the Lord is asking, we're asking the Lord to save his children. Lord, save your children.
Amen.
If you don't know what to say, Lord, save your children.
That's right.
If you don't know what to say.
And put your name in there instead of children. Lord, save me.
Hey,
you just at
the march, right?
Yes.
Am I going to be allowed to sing, Dr. Palmer?
Yes.
If you can sing on key, it will be a miracle. It's the miracle we're waiting for, Lord.
No,
Tony's going to sing on key.
Go, Lord, save.
Join me. We'll sing Far, Far Away.
Lord, save your children. Lord, save.
16th at Holy Trinity High School in Hicksville.
And Dr. Palmer and myself will be there.
Amen. With a table.
Is that a free table or are we paying?
You're paying.
Forget your petitions. Listen up, 1240 at AOL.com.